Welcome to the new season of Hyperbaric Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Masha. In this new series of episodes, we're going to be talking about different therapies that can be safely integrated with hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And my first guest is Dr. Daniel Pompa, a world expert in detoxification. There are many myths surrounding hyperbarics and detox. So I've decided to speak with an expert in detox and hyperbarics to see what is true and what is not, and how to use hyperbarics for detox. Welcome to the show, Dr. Pompa.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to, we got a lot of great information, so everyone better Absolutely. Pack it in. And get your notebooks ready. Get your notebooks. Yeah,
let's get started. This season, this podcast season, we're focusing on different therapies that could be complementary and integrative with hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And of course, one of the questions I get to hear a lot is, how do you combine hyperbaric therapy with detoxification? And one of the myths in hyperbaric community, or at least people who want to try hyperbarics, is that many people believe is that hyperbaric chamber is a great tool to detox. And I hear stories over stories how somebody got into the chamber and they started to detox and what happened next. I have my own opinion on that. And of course, I'm going to tell you what it is. But first, I want to hear what an expert in detoxification, Dr. Pompa, thinks about it.
Yeah, I've been teaching doctors for 20 years about my detox methods. And, you know, let me back up into how I even became the expert here. Okay. I was the patient. I got very sick. I had a very big, it was a busy practice at the time. And like most people, it started with simple fatigue, and then it went to weird anxiety. Then it went to these weird gut problems that I never had. Then it went to insomnia, panic attacks, hormone problems. Is it my thyroid, my adrenals? Address those for a year, not better. You know, some things actually worse, you know, I chased it. All right. Just like, you know, so many people, but, in that chasing, you know, I have to believe God led me to, well, he did every answer that I teach today. And, detox is not what people think. Right. And in our, you know, space, of alternative medicine, if you will, detox is really, there's a lot of myths to your point, not just around HBOT. So we'll bust a lot of those myths today. But there's so much bad information. And, you know, when I was digging for answers myself, boy, did I discover that. I was thinking, like, how does the average person negotiate this, or I should say navigate this? And, you know, it really is difficult because there's just these things that don't go away, like chlorella. You know, is the magnet for mercury, and, you know, cilantro brings it out of the brain. Okay, well, those things are completely not true. And I believe that people are trying to detox with, like I said, you made a great point, HBOT, and you know I'm a big fan of HBOT, and we'll talk about how it applies here. But saunas and foot baths and, you know, the 10-day cleanse, you know, all of it, colonics, none of that is real detox. One of the things that I teach is real detox has to be at the cellular level. And that's what I've been teaching, and that's what we're going to discuss.
I think people think that hyperbarics can help detox because there is internal production of glutathione thanks right. to hyperbaric session. But glutathione is not enough. It's just one of the pathways, correct?
100%. Yes. And here's what happens, okay? When you just I'm getting a piece of paper because I have to draw things. When you just upregulate glutathione alone, yes, you can start moving toxins out of the cell. But the problem with that is when you start moving toxins out of the cell, most of them redistribute. So that's an issue because most of them then end up in your brain. They cross, many of the toxins have the ability to cross the blood-brain barrier and other parts of the body, and they drive symptoms. So it's like when someone runs to their doctor and says, I have heavy metal issues. And the doctor said, well, we'll do IV chelation. And they do IV chelation, and you read online all the horror stories. It's because a similar thing happens. They get the IV, which is a real chelator. But the problem is it goes in and you go home and it has a half-life in the body, meaning it pulls a lot of metal out. The chelator goes away. But the problem is you now have mobilized a lot of heavy metals, and the agent not being there allows these heavy metals to redistribute, people get more sick. So there's a science to detox. Well, you know, yes, you have to use real binders, real chelators. They in themselves aren't the detox. You know, as you'll see, it really is more about the cell. However, those things can be, if used correctly within their half-life, and there's the science, they can be the vehicles that grab on and make sure it goes all the way out of the body. So when you misuse these things and create redistribution, like, you know, getting in an HBOT, people have high heavy metals, this ends bad, right? And it's no different than the IV chelation. So yes, they have their place, but they have to be used correctly.
What place does mitochondria play in the whole detoxification
process? No, I have what I developed, and it's one of the, I gave a talk at the IHA, and it was talking about the importance of cell energy, ATP, and the utilization of all the detox pathways. And I don't want to get people lost in the science because people get bored, but just know this, that you need cell energy to really perform every bit of cellular detox. And when you don't have enough, then bad things happen. The cells stop detoxing. So I said I was going to draw something, and I'm going to just show this because I think that's a great question. Okay, this is a cell, 50 to 70 trillion of these in our bodies. Now, the cell all day long in the mitochondria, to your point, this is where we make ATP, right? That's where we make energy. And we have many of these mitochondria in most of our cells. That energy is really what determines to make, you need three molecules of this ATP to make a molecule of glutathione. And so you need ATP to make glutathione, right? They're dependent upon one another. So what happens when energy, cell energy, again, if that's a mitochondria, and it's not working correctly, and you're making less ATP, well, guess what? Your glutathione starts to drop, and now something else bad happens. So when you make energy, you make waste. It's like burning a log in a fire. You make smoke, and you have to open a damper to get rid of it. Well, that's the way our cells work. Our cells have to work all day long to get rid of toxins out of the cell. Glutathione's one pathway. You have superoxide dismutase, catalase. You have a lot of different, but methylation, a lot of different pathways that the cell is constantly getting rid of these toxins. So when your energy drops, the glutathione drops, these other pathways are also affected. Now we know this, you have, and everyone I think knows this, is your DNA sits in the nucleus of the cell. Well, guess what happens? As the toxins, if we draw X's, start building up in the cell because it can't get rid of them because of the drop in energy. Now these toxins turn on bad genes. So now you say, gosh, you know, I think I have a thyroid condition. My hair is thinning. I can't lose weight. I don't have energy. You know, I have every symptom. That was me, right? Well, that gene can absolutely get turned on. The problem is it could take 10 or 20 years before your blood work goes off. And meanwhile, at the genetic level, your thyroid's malfunctioning. So that's an issue. But here's the other issue. All of the hormone receptors are on the outside of the cell. Okay. So in other words, what I mean by that is you could have normal thyroid hormone. So let's just put T3 out here. That's the active form of thyroid hormone. It has to actually attach to one of these receptors and be let in the cell where it works its magic in the mitochondria and your nucleus. Okay. So what if something is blocking that receptor from getting thyroid in? Well, that's a problem because now you go to your doctor like I did and say, I have all these symptoms. I know it's my thyroid. He ran my blood work, bought $5,000 worth of blood work because I had like everything tested. And, you know, after my results came back, he looked at me and said, you're healthier than I am, son. Now I was like, yeah, thank you. So I left there with a suggestion and a prescription for a psychotropic drug, meaning you got a problem here. Wasn't the case in the long run. But the bottom line is, my thyroid blood was normal, but my cells were so inflamed because I had a toxic condition that I didn't discover yet, okay? And toxins make their way into these precious membranes and they cause cellular inflammation, but ultimately it blocks these receptors. So yeah, I was having trouble with my thyroid because I wasn't getting the thyroid message in the cell. And therefore, I had symptoms of thyroid, even though my blood work was normal. And oftentimes, even let's say my blood work 10 years goes out of the normal range, Well, guess what most people end up with? They go to their doctor, they're given T4. T4 is the inactive form, thyroxine, synthroid, and then it has to convert to T3. Unfortunately, because most of that conversion is in the liver and the gut, most people can't even make the darn conversion. But here's the problem. By taking T4 or a bioidentical hormone, your body goes, oh yeah, my blood levels get better, right? So even if you're taking estrogen, your blood levels get better. But what happens if estrogen, testosterone, thyroid can't get converted to an active form or can't get their message in the cell? Our blood work looks better from the hormone, but we don't feel better. Okay, all driven from a toxic cell. And one more thing, when this cell membrane inflames, you can't get the toxins out just because of the inflamed membrane, and you can't get the nutrition in. So now people say, my diet doesn't even work anymore. My supplements aren't working. My whatever they're taking, their bioidentical hormones aren't working. It's because the problem is here. It's not about another hormone, although there's a time and a place for that. Unfortunately, in allopathic medicine and alternative medicine, nobody is dealing with that problem. This has been my passion for 20 years. Real detox is here. You have to upregulate all of this to, you know, really get well, to make your hormones work, to make your gut work. It's a cellular issue. Hyperbaric helps cellular energy. It does. And that's great. So I developed what I call my 5 R's of cellular healing, meaning it's a roadmap of how I teach doctors of how to fix the cell. R number 3 is restoring cell energy. If you don't restore cell energy, then you're dead in the water. R number 2 is regenerating these cell membranes, not just this outer membrane, but the inner membrane. If you don't do that, you're dead in the water. You're not going to detox the cell. You're not going to get your life back. You're not going to feel well. So, you know, that is, you can see my passion because, you know, people are missing it. It's not about the next supplement. It's not about the next diet, even. It's not about the next device. We've got to fix ourselves to get well.
So a doctor in me is thinking, so what would you do first? Would you bring down the inflammation first and then attempt at taking the gunk out of the cell? Or would you start with taking the toxic substances out of the cell and subsequently bring the inflammation down?
Great question. So in my method that I teach, we have what we call a prep phase. In the prep phase, which lasts a minimum a month, all our goal is to start to gently upregulate the cell functions. And by the way, R number 4 is reduce inflammation, cellular. So you nailed one of them. R number 5 is reestablishing methylation. So all of these R's were, for the first month, we're supporting reducing cellular inflammation, to your point. We're starting to get methylation working good because without this methylation, and people hear of it, right? It's some people say, oh, I have the gene for, I'm homozygous for the MTHFR gene. That's methylation. I'm not a buyer in to identify with genes because very toxic people all have trouble methylating. Why do they all have trouble methylating? Because the more toxic you are, the more stressed you are, the less methylation you have. It's not a gene thing. It's how filled your stress bucket. And that needs indicated space as well. But we want to start getting these pathways upregulated before we start pushing the cell to detox. Then after we get these functions in the membrane better and the inflammation down and the methylation working, then we come in and we can start to drive the cell. And I've developed products over the years that does that. Then we drive the cell to start to detox. Now, this is important because when the cell starts detox, I'll put an arrow out, okay? This is where we use real chelators and binders because we've heard about things like DMSA, EDTA. EDTA. I developed a product called Cytodetox, and Cytodetox is just a binder chelator. I was part of the development of that product. But anyway, and there's others. But these chelators, when used correctly within their half-life, meaning we have to keep the blood levels of them up while we're on a detox cycle, and I'll explain that in a minute. Their only job is as we get the cell moving toxins out, once we start the detox process, these are the vehicles that grab on and make sure that they move out of the body. There's one other problem. When you start moving toxins out of the cell, even grabbing them with these binders and chelators, many of them end up in the liver. And what happens? They bind up into this fatty substance called bile, okay? We end up with this toxic bile complex, scientific term, hepatic, meaning liver, biliary, meaning bile, sludge, meaning a toxic waste. Okay, so what happens is the toxins are many of them. So if I redraw the cell up here, we're going to get the cell dumping toxins. We're going to bind them up with binders and chelators here. Okay, so we'll just draw the toxins. We're going to bind them up, but many of them are brought to the liver. The liver then, a lot of them end up binding up to bile stored in the gallbladder, right? All right, and then what happens to bile? When you eat fat, bile is dumped where? In the gut to digest fat. There's a problem because it brings, this is a toxic compound. Here's the problem. In the lower intestine, your body's designed to reabsorb the bile back to the liver. So guess what? This toxic bile sludge is recirculated again and again. It's auto-intoxication. So 20 years ago, approximately, I developed a system where we put a binder in the gut. Okay. There's one called Gut Clear that I developed, one called Bind that I developed. But the point is that we lay these binders in here. They don't leave the gut. They act like a catcher's mitt. So when this toxic bile is dumped into here, they grab it so we can move the toxins all the way out of the body. So think of this in three parts. We upregulate the cell. We use chelators to grab the toxins so we don't redistribute throughout the body, right? That's a mistake. People get worse. And then we grab the toxins in the gut so we don't auto-intoxicate from the gut. One, two, three. And that method is done in, we first do the prep phase. Then we do this body phase where the goal is just to get the easy to get toxins. And then the last phase is a brain phase. If we don't get the toxins out of the brain and deep nerve tissue, we don't get our lives back. And that was my story. And obviously, you know, millions of other people that I've impacted. This is the mistake that alternative medicine, of course, allopathic medicine, they're not set up to do this, to teach this in their defense. They're better to deal with acute injuries and things of that sort. But here we are in alternative medicine, looking to get to the cause. How few of the practitioners, coaches, and doctors are asking people about true causes? And that's a whole nother conversation. If people are living in moldy homes, if people have hidden infections in root canals, cavitations, if people have mercury in their brain, lead in their bones, then you are not going to get them well with a diet, 50 HBOT treatments. You're not going to get them well with saunas. You're just not. And I'm not against any of those things. Quite the opposite. I love them. But the point is we have to remove the cause, the interference of why the body's not healing, why your hormones aren't working. If we do that, then the body can get well, and it will. I believe even from the most horrific diagnosis or condition, the body can heal itself if we remove the interference. This is my passion. That is how I got my life back.
Excellent. I want to take the course. It sounds amazing. I have many questions.
All right. I have what you can put out a link or something like that. But I do have a seminar October 20th and 21st in Salt Lake City in the U.S. And then we have a certification program where for the first time, I've been teaching doctors for 20 years, but for the first time, I'm actually certifying coaches. So you might have just, you know, people out there that, hey, I coach, I want to learn this. You can do that. And we'll also put a link up for if you want a coach, because there's people going, I need this. I have a program that I've trained so many doctors and coaches that you can get that. But we'll provide both of those links.
Excellent. So the links will be in the podcast description below. And first, I want to ask all these questions. I had like so many questions while you were explaining. So basically, if you miss just one of the sort of steps along the way, then the whole detoxification process is doomed, right? So you need to move the toxins out of the cell. You need a chelator that will grab to the toxin, and then you need a binder that will absorb the toxin. So the bile is not being reabsorbed in its toxic form. What kind of binders do you find work best?
You know, there's a lot of bad stuff taught about binders. First of all, most of your binders are very contaminated themselves. For example, carbons are very contaminated. Bentonite clays are very contaminated. Zeolites are very contaminated because a lot of these binders come from the ground. So you have to be very, very careful with your binder. And then not all binders are created equal. For example, in both of those binders that I mentioned that I created, there's a special carbon that is from Holland, actually, and it's the only carbon really shown to bind the bile complex and that toxic complex. So people take a lot of different carbons and that sort, but they really don't work. So you have to get one that has a massive ability to bind. When you take this particular carbon and let it in the air, it literally goes to the surfaces around it. That's how strong and activated this type of carbon is. Bentonite clay. There's many forms of bentonite clay, but people say, oh, bentonite clay is a binder, use it. Well, there's one form called calcium montmorillite, which is a cleaner version, but it's also the version that has the ability to adsorb and absorb. And so not every clay is created equal. And so in the binder that I created, one has four different types of binders. Four, because different binders bind better to different things. And when we dump things into the gut, we need to have multiple binders. The new one I created called Gut Clear, CLR, so Gut CLR, that is has nine different binders that are real binders. And again, the binders in the gut, and then utilizing chelators of different sorts around the cell in this process.
What about modified citrus pectin? Would it work? Do you find that it's helpful or?
Yeah, I mean, I use a version of that in the product, but it, in and itself, it's too limited. It's very, very limited, and its ability to bind is limited, but it binds to specific things pretty well. So you can utilize it, but you can't utilize it by itself.
I see. So when going back to hyperbaric oxygen therapy, let's say a person is toxic in a way that the cells are toxic, are full of toxins, and they cannot excrete those toxins for the reasons that you've described at the beginning. And then they start using hyperbaric chamber. And especially if they have one of those MTFHR mutations, or maybe because there are many more genes, the MTFHR is not the only one. They're not methylating really well. Well, they're not detoxing well. And they go inside a hyperbaric chamber. And we know that their mitochondria is probably compromised, because in a person who cannot detox well, mitochondria is not working well by definition. So what will happen then?
Yeah, so exactly. What happens is they end up redistributing those toxins. As we know that we can get a temporary rise, in the mitochondrial function, and then the cell starts to detox. And then what happens? The downstream detox pathways are shut down, the liver, the kidney, the gut, the lymph, because you're already compromised as a human who is neurotoxic at the cellular level. And then what happens is toxins just start redistributing and more start crossing deeper into nerve tissue, the brain, et cetera. And you slowly are making yourself actually more toxic. So we have to be very careful. I think even healthy people, I always say when you go into an HBOT, it's good to take some bind and things before you go in. And even when you come out, to try to minimize that process. But if you are neurotoxic and have issues, you need to really, and what I do with a lot of our clients and what I teach the docs is have them do the HBOT on what we call an on cycle. So this process I described, all detox in nature, whether it's a woman cycle, which is really a detox cycle, even in nature, it's seasonal, it's cycle. We don't always detox. We go on and then we rest. We move on, then we rest. So on cycles and off cycles. So let's say that an on cycle is 3 days on, 4 days off. That's an example of a very simple on detox cycle. On the 3 days on, we would absolutely tell people to do the HBOT then. Why? Because we have this whole method, all the chelators in place. We have all the cellular support in place. We have also, part of my method is we're supporting the liver, the kidney, and the lymph, right? So we have all of that happening. We have the binders in the gut protecting. So all of that is there. So when you upregulate that mitochondria via using HBOT, now everything's protected and in place. So we have people do it on the on cycle.
So my audience, some of them are patients and people who are end users of hyperbaric therapy, but they're also clinic owners and they're doctors. They're practitioners, coaches, medical practitioners of all kinds. And let's say they have a hyperbaric chamber in their clinic and they'd like to incorporate sort of a detox program Do you teach that kind of stuff as well on your course? So if they were to take a course or if they were to take a webinar that you mentioned, would you teach about that as well?
Yeah, of course. And like I said, I'm offering a certification in it because people, you need to do it right. And it has to be done right. And detox, real detox. Yes, it's a cellular level, but it's also very different for everybody. Meaning the chelators used, some people do better with some than others. The doses, some people do better with higher doses, believe it or not, than lower doses. And the opposite is true as well. So we have to understand how to customize, you know, cellular detox to the person. And that's really important. There's a science, as I mentioned, not violating half-life using chelators, you know, but there's also an art and, you know, teaching the person how to do it and the practitioner. And that's key. Even when people go into my own program and they want to coach, which we call the Pompa program, the goal is to teach them the process so they can learn it. And then they can do this long enough to matter. So the goal is always to teach the person the process to do this right. And again, it's a little different for them than the next person in the family, as an example. But yeah, so the seminar, October 20th and 21st here in Salt Lake. And then also, like I said, if you want to coach, we'll give the link for Pompa program. There's even a good webinar there that kind of dives in a little differently.
So we have two therapies now. We have detoxification and we have hyperbaric oxygen therapy. That you told us a little bit how to combine those two together. For those who want to learn more, there's a great chance at the webinar, at the course. But then what other therapies do you think we can safely add in to get a better effect? Which therapies would have synergistic effect here as well?
Yeah, I mean, I said saunas aren't really how we detox, but it is a nice therapy that we can add in to open up another detox pathway. It does stimulate some shock proteins, which can help some cell detox. But again, we want to utilize that in and around chelators and binders and cell support, downstream detox support. So we always have people do saunas on cycles as well. Saunas are great. Red light therapy can help mitochondrial energy. That, you know, those things can be really helpful. I'm a fan of different ozone therapies. I'm also a fan of different frequency therapies, biochargers, PEMF devices. I love all of those things as additions. Coffee enemas. These are additions to, you know, doing detox right at the cellular level. Those things in themselves, unfortunately, people utilize those as the detox agent, and it's not. It's not that simple, as you can see. I could share my screen. How to use HBOT with cellular detox. These are some tips that I gave the audience, and I think it applies to yours. It helps to do it on an on cycle. I actually gave that example already, meaning that we are detoxing for 3 days on and we're taking 4 days off. So you would do the HBOT when that whole process that I was talking about, the chelators, the binders, the liver, kidney support, all of that, this is the best to do it because all of these things are in place. Using binders, I said, this is best even for the average healthy person. Use binders before and after. And the one that I created with the 9 binders, the gut clear, I said, I'll offer you a link, Cellular Solutions. It's a practitioner only line, and you can get, if you're not a practitioner, they can get it through you. If you are a practitioner, you can set up a wholesale account at cellularsolutions.com, but you would use a binder before and after the HBOT. And I just gave this as a tip. You mentioned or another therapy, but use red light after actually increases the effect of the HBOT therapy. And also, you know, helps in the detox. But again, make sure that we use binders before and after the HBOT. And then remember this, I gave this tip too. HBOT works with something called a hormetic effect. That means we add a stress to a biological system like a human. And if we add the stress and we adapt, we get better and stronger. If we add a stress and don't adapt, we get weaker. That's the premise of hormesis. But HBOT it acts hormetically, meaning you exercise acts hormetically. You stress the body via exercise and then you get stronger, right? So we always have to respect hormesis. You go into an HBOT, for the amount of time that your body is tolerating it. If you say, I went into the HBOT and oh my God, I feel horrible. The next day I felt worse. You probably went in too long. I say the same about saunas, and we can say the same about exercise. You know, if you did my workout, some of you would be like worse, frankly. You wouldn't adapt to the stress of the exercise and you would actually get worse, not better. More is not better. It's all about adaptation. HBOT, same way. Remember that. Okay. More is not better. And here's the other tip. Because it's a stress, they found that going up and down. So let's say you're in there for an hour. Maybe you bring it up and then depressurize again and bring it back up. The stress of going up and down in pressure actually creates more benefit because it acts as a greater stress. So bringing the HBOT up and down a couple, maybe even once in an hour, does help the results. But anyways, so there's just some little tips that I gave at the seminar.
And those are excellent tips because those are basically answers to the questions that people are asking. I was just going to say, but you already said it, but I'm going to repeat it because it's so important. People are always asking, why am I not feeling well after a hyperbaric session? Why some people get a lot of energy and I have to stay in bed for 2 days? It means you overdid it. And then there are reasons why it was too much for you. But maybe the cell is just too toxic.
Absolutely. Exactly.
It affects mitochondria. Mitochondria cannot process all that oxygen that's coming in. And it's an overload. And it's not a good thing.
People violate the premise of hormesis all the time, right? And the fact is most likely if you felt horrible after you did release too many toxins, therefore it's staying less time. You know, it's like if you stay in and go, okay, I'm just going to stay in because I need this, you're not doing your body justice, right? So more is not better. Listen to your body. And people do the same thing with saunas. You know what people are doing it with now? Ice baths. The only reason an ice bath works is because it's a hormetic stress. Right. So the body literally thinks it's dying. And then it upregulates something called norepinephrine. And norepinephrine upregulates upregulates growth hormone. And all of these great things happen, maybe, if you adapt. However, the body thinks it's going to die. Norepinephrine, growth hormone. In the body, it was too much and it doesn't adapt. You're left worse. You're literally, you've damaged yourself. So more is not better. And what happens is people hear a 3-minute ice bath, 3-minute ice bath. So everyone's doing 3 minutes. Okay. Most of the people that I see, they can't even handle 30 seconds, right? You have to work up to 3 minutes, right? And so people make the same mistake. I heard a half hour in the sauna. I heard an hour in the sauna. Listen to your body. No different than with HBOT. It's a stress. That doesn't make it bad. It makes it good. But you have to adapt to the stress. Listen to your body. Because remember, spending too much time in that HBOT, as we just point out, will create this detox effect. And if you can't handle it, you're doomed. So not good. And then we can do things to help us adapt to the stress by doing the HBOT on an on cycle with all the chelators and binders and helping the downstream detox pathway. That will help you do longer and adapt to more stress. Simple as that.
Beautifully said. And then it depends what you're doing hyperbaric therapy for. If it's a carbon monoxide poisoning and they're going to put you under high pressure for a long time, it's worth it because they're saving your life.
Because you're going to die. Yes, exactly.
You're going to feel terrible from doing that much hyperbarics with high pressure, but you're going to stay on this planet Earth, right?
That's right.
Another story, if you're doing it for wellness, if you have a chronic disease and you want to get better, that needs to be done slowly. Listening to your body, making sure that it has time to adapt. And then it's done beautifully and graciously. And I think that's the point.
It is. Yeah, it is. And like I said, there's a lot of myths around these things, but there's a science and an art to it all. And we need to respect it.
Absolutely. There's one more thing I wanted to touch upon. And it really relates to the fact that detox is a therapy. And I think it's another myth that people think that, well, detox is a natural thing because naturally we're detoxing as seasons change and it's our ancestors always did it. I mean, we're not genetically, we're the same, but we're living in completely different environments. And I don't think that we really go through this detoxing periods of autumn and spring anymore. So that's detoxing naturally. But there's also detox as a therapy. And it's important that it's done scientifically and not just I'm going to wake up tomorrow and decide, okay, let me detox, because there is a science behind it. And sometimes you can do more harm than good by approaching this therapy on your own. And even me as a practitioner, and I don't know about you, Daniel, if it's the same for you, but I always do my detoxes under the supervision of another practitioner.
It's smart, because we can't think through our own stuff.
Okay. We can't.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of my biggest regrets when I was getting myself well is I didn't have a practitioner thinking it through with me. It became my wife who would be like, why are you doing that? Like literally she would bring logic to my insanity, right? It is smart to do it with a practitioner, a coach, for that very reason, because we get very irrational. We do stupid things when we treat ourselves, even as doctors. So, and remember, detox, like fasting, like cold baths, saunas, HBOT, is a stress. Right. And we have to treat it appropriately. Right. That's why it's a little different for everybody. And I loved your what you said. Right. It's yes, detox is natural and there's natural detox. Our cells do this day in, day out. But what we're under today is different than any time in the history of man. We are. I don't know if you saw the movie Dark Waters, but it's about forever chemicals. And at the end of the movie, they said literally every living thing on the planet now has bioaccumulated these forever chemicals. What are they? They're chemicals that literally stay in the environment forever unless they're pulled out with a very hard, it's not easy, and stay in our bodies forever unless they're detoxed out, right? They're nasty. These are hormone disruptors. They cause diabetes, which the studies showed all the way back in the 1950s. Yes, they cause cancer. They cause thyroid disruption. When we look at the number of people that have diabetes, thyroid problems, and hormone problems today, autoimmune, I'll add to it. The escalation in the last 10 years has been scary. This is the real pandemic. And the answer, unfortunately, isn't just change your diet anymore. The answer is not that simple. We have, our cells are bombarded with these toxins. Our pathways have just collapsed. And now we're just bioaccumulating these things only to get the diagnosis. You know, when are we going to do something about it? I believe in my heart to stay healthy today. You have to understand how to detox at the cellular level.
I also believe it's a full-time job to stay healthy today.
Yes.
Keep doing things. And absolutely, detox is one of them. Dr. Pompa, thank you from the bottom of my heart, really, for explaining all these things to my listeners. I feel it's so important that as many people as possible will understand it and see help of a professional. If they're professional, take a course to know exactly. Like, I'm a naturopathic doctor. We were taught a lot about detox, but I feel that I need additional education. Because things change, there are new studies, there's new information. You can't really fit all of that in a four-year naturopathic program. So I want to encourage people. I mean, that's another podcast about education, how important it is.
Yep, absolutely. So yeah, we'll provide all the information I said, and thank you for having me.
Guys, if you like this episode, please give us likes, because it will help other people to see this information. And if you think of someone who might benefit from this information, please send them a link. I'll see you next week.